goes up and never runs out on me. And
make a way for, make a way for, make a way for the King. The King is coming. Filling up, wicked ways are coming undone. Every eye is looking out for you. City lights are burning out. Freedom song is ringing loud. Dead men waking up to the sound.
Make a way. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you, and it is a privilege to be in this space together. And we have the great opportunity to worship. We're going to worship the Lord this morning in different ways. In a moment, I'm going to read from His Word, and then we'll stand and sing songs of praise to Him. We bring worship to God by just gathering here and encouraging each other in fellowship. And of course, when we pray, we bring our worship to God. Let Him know how much we love Him and how thankful we are. For church, it's a good reminder that worship is very simply our response to God's goodness. And our God is good, amen? We have a holy God who is worthy of worship and praise. And Jesus, our Savior, spent much time with His Heavenly Father. He gives us a great example of the need to spend time to break away from the normal routine of life and ministry and to pray and to spend time with a holy God. We get to do that this morning. So listen to the beginning words of this amazing prayer of our great high priest. Jesus prays for us. Did you know that? He prayed for us. Listen to the beginning words of His prayer, taken from John chapter 17. And just consider these words as our call into worship, as we will stand in a moment to worship a holy God. Jesus spoke all these things, and then lifting His eyes to heaven, He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given Him, He may give eternal life. For this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Would you stand with me, please? Father God, we stand before you and we pray. We pray with hearts of thanksgiving. We pray with hearts that anticipate a time spent with you. Thank you for Jesus and His example of a strong desire deep within to spend time with our Heavenly Father. You deserve glory and praise, for you are and our holy God. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus' prayer over us, His prayer that you would glorify Him as He glorifies you. Father, we desire the one day when you call us to yourself to see you in all your glory. But Father, we catch a glimpse now and we praise you for that. So as we spend time singing songs of praise, worshiping you with words that matter, words that remind us of who you are and who we are to you. Father, may you be glorified, our holy God. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So church, let's remain standing and praise our God together. Amen.
Jesus. Church, and how wonderful it is to know that we have a resurrected King, but not just a resurrected King. He is the King of Kings. Amen. And Lord of Lords. And in 1 Timothy 6:12-16, we read, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen."
To fulfill
In your freedom, we are free. In your freedom, we are free. You have set us free. It is for freedom that you have set us free. Father, we can sing that word with great assurance and confidence that by putting our trust in you and you alone, we have been set free. God, may we now worship, continue to worship and pray and honor you as the free children of God that we are. Father, for freedom you have set us free. May we receive that truth. May we live in it. May we proclaim it and enjoy it. Thank you for the freedom we have, the freedom to worship you. And God, we are grateful. God, continue to lead us through your Spirit in our time of encouragement, our time of fellowship, and our time in your word. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you that you did it through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Church, take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you. All right. Praise the Lord, if we can make our way back to our seats. Praise the Lord. What a great time of worship and, of course, of fellowship and encouragement. Please remember that we always offer some coffee before service. 9:45, we start that and we offer that. So if you want to come and get a head start on fellowship and encouraging one another and be praying for one another over a good cup of coffee, then I just encourage you to do that. So come on out. But thank you for being here. We say welcome to all of our friends who are joining us online. Remember that we offer that. It's a great tool that we have to be able to live stream our services. So if you are homesick, if you're traveling and can't make it, that you can join in live, or you can go back and check our website later for all of our sermons are archived there. So we're grateful to be able to do that. We learn, we grow, and we serve together. That's our core values, because that's how we pursue being followers of Jesus, disciples. We learn the truth, we grow in faith, and then we serve. And we serve each other, we serve the world around us. We have opportunities to serve. This week, on Thursday, it's the third Thursday of the month, and it is our local outreach at Thomas River, where we partner with a few other ministries. If you were here last time, you remember we heard from Lori Singer. She's the director of services and outreach in the Thomas River Homeless and Housing Coalition. She kind of gave us just a good view of what they do there and what that church, Christ Episcopal Church, is going through now with the town. But that's where we go and partner with a few other ministries. There's that shower ministry that you've heard us talk about, where they offer just showers and some clean clothes for people that are struggling with homelessness and poverty. And so we love to go and give out our blessing bags and to be a blessing. Amen. So that is this Thursday. The information's on our website. If you'd like more, you can talk to Andrew and Elizabeth, who oversee our missions ministry. And then the last Sunday of the month, June 29th, we will have our annual prayer walk. This year it's going to be at Jenkinson's Boardwalk. We've gone Asbury Park and we're back to Jenks now. And so it's just an afternoon. We do that at 4 o'clock. We just go and we walk up and down the boardwalk and we pray. And we pray for people. We just offer prayer. We pray as we're walking and we see people. Even if they don't want prayer, we can pray for them silently. And you just pray. And sometimes it's a little distracting because of the smell of the pizza and the sights and sounds and smells that go along with the boardwalk, but it's a really unique place to do ministry, yeah, and so if you haven't done that before, come and join us as we just walk the boardwalk there in Point Beach and pray and just offer prayer. And so just make a note of that. That is on the 29th. Remember, too, we've been mentioning that our Trinity Kids Ministry, as we minister to our next generation, they're down the hall now having their time of learning and growing and serving. But remember that there is a particular need for volunteers to help out in our nursery, so we need two volunteers to help. And so if you're interested, you can see any one of the leaders in the Trinity Kids ministry. You can see myself as well. If you have any interest in finding out more about what it means and how to get involved. It's a good way to start, too. If you've been looking for a way to serve and start using your gifts here at Trinity, it's a good way to begin. We thank everybody who participated in the baby bottle boomerang. We had mentioned this was from Mother's Day to Father's Day, and today being Father's Day, we thank you for everybody that participated, helped to donate to that important cause and ministry there located there in Toms River. And so if you signed up and took a bottle and you filled it up but you forgot to bring it, please just bring it back as soon as you can. And you can just drop it in the main office. There's a sheet there where you can just let the leadership know that you have turned it in. And so, again, thank you to everyone who participated. And, of course, a very special happy Father's Day. And hopefully you knew it was Father's Day. If you didn't, I won't ask you to raise your hand. But it's it's just an opportunity to recognize and to honor and to thank our dads, those dads among us in our congregation, those in our family, and our friends who are fathers. It is important to recognize those who are dads, who take on that responsibility in different ways and different times in their life. And so I won't ask you to stand, dads, but I do want to pray over you. And so I'm just going to ask that right where you're seated, if you would just join me in praying and listen along as I pray. And then I want to encourage you to, after service, if you can just say a happy Father's Day, if you haven't already, to all the dads. And if you're a dad here, guys, make sure on your way out you take one of our gifts. There'll be some very special people handing them out to you. So please, before you leave, make sure you head to the back of the fellowship hall and receive your special gift. Just a small way that Trinity can say thank you for being a dad, and thank you for being a part of our congregation. So, church, let's pray together over our fathers this morning. God, you are our heavenly Father, and so we thank you for the gift of dads in our lives. We pray, as always, for your blessing, your favor, and your strength over each and every dad in our church, those who are watching from home, maybe those who are traveling for work. We pray you bless them. For those dads who are seeking to walk more closely with you, for those who just need to be reminded that you're real, we ask you to renew their courage and increase their strength and deepen their love for their families. Keep their footsteps firm. Guard their way, we pray. We ask that you would help them to always, as dads, to stand strong, to be men of faith, that you would fill their hearts with compassion and peace and love. Thank you, Father, for the fathers who fight for their families, who do battle through prayer over those that they love, and for those who set an example to their children as they follow you. And we thank you, God, that you are, as your word tells us, Abba, Father, our dad. For those who struggled in their relationships with their dads or never knew their fathers at all or perhaps have lost them and are grieving in a special way today, remind them that you, God, are our perfect Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we pray that you would raise up mighty men, godly men in this generation, those who would know and honor you with how they care for those that they love. We pray that today's dads and the next generation of fathers would walk in wisdom and follow hard after you above all else. So we pray these things in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you, dads, for being here, choosing to spend your day with us. I'm assuming it was your choice. Anyway, thank you for being here. Listen to these words. Look at these words. We pray. We, a church that prays, and we value prayer. We value praying together. We pray throughout the week individually, maybe in your car on the way to work, maybe at home in your special prayer place, praying over the Word of God with it open, praying over your families. But we are asking that if you are available at all, that you would come out and join us tomorrow night here at church at 6:30 to pray. Perhaps you've noticed this from our prayer emails or just from talking with your brothers and sisters here at Trinity, that we have many people in our church family and extended family that have been suffering and struggling with very serious issues, very serious health issues, relationship issues, things that we've been praying for, but the Lord just put it on my heart that we need to get together and pray. So let's just get together for a special night of prayer tomorrow night. We'll have some just worship even as we pray. We're starting at 6:30. There's no ending time. We just pray as the Spirit leads. You can stay as long as you can. But I would ask that if you are available, come and join us. as we pray over people in groups, as we pray together corporately, whoever is here, that we would lift up the name of Jesus and that we would speak the name of Jesus and all the power that is in his name for healing, for help, and for hope. You know, there are special times throughout the year, throughout the life of a church where we are called to pray together. I mean, we pray together whenever we get together, but a special time to gather because of things that are happening that's just really catching our attention. So would you please make it a point, if you can, to join us here tomorrow night at 6:30 to pray, to just pray for God's healing, to pray for God's mercy and for God's grace. That is tomorrow night here at 6:30. Come and pray with us, please. If you need prayer, come and pray, but come and ask to be prayed over. And people will do that. People will lay a gentle hand on your shoulder and just pray. To pray for God's mercy. Pray for God's clarity in tough decisions. Praying for healing in relationships and healing in our bodies. Come and receive prayer tomorrow night. Because when we pray, we speak words. We can pray without verbally speaking. We pray in our minds, and we can pray with our eyes open, our eyes closed, but there's something very special when we pray out loud and people hear, when they receive, or we pray in groups and others hear you pray, and that's because words matter. Words matter. In Exodus chapter 5, it says this, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said these words, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know this Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Words that he spoke out loud. Those words mattered. They revealed a hardened heart. Pharaoh's defiant words reflected his pride, his unbelieving heart, his rejection of God through his words spoken to Moses and Aaron and to God himself led to devastating judgment through the plagues of God on the people of Egypt. It brought destruction and loss of loved ones for him and his army in the Red Sea. Words matter, don't they? Words matter. Whether you're a Pharaoh, whether you're a father in your home, the words that we use matter. The words that we pray matter. In today's passage in Matthew, we're going to see just that point, that words matter. We always keep things in context when we look at God's word together, so today is no different, but these are some difficult teachings of the Lord Jesus as he continues to proclaim judgment on the nation Israel through its leaders, the Pharisees. So I'd like to read to you our passage for this morning, and then I'll do a brief overview of where we are in Matthew, and then just briefly just want to share a few things from today's passage that we can glean. Even though these were words spoken by Jesus himself to that first century Israel and their leaders, words of judgment, all because of their words spoken about him and the decision that it showed that they already had in their heart. So let's read this. This is Matthew 12, 33 to 37. I'd like to read it to you. It's up on your screen. You can turn in your Bibles to it. I'd like to read this, and then I'll bring us up to date of where we've already been in Matthew, and then just briefly share a few thoughts about what we can take away from this passage today. Jesus is continuing his rebuke of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Jewish people in his day. If you remember, they had just rejected him, said that he had cast out a demon from a mute and a blind person, that he had done it by the power of Satan and not of God. It was that straw that broke the camel's back. They had rejected Jesus as their king and rejected his kingdom. So Jesus continues in verse 33. To the Pharisees, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What if we just prayed and left on that today? How would that feel? Jesus has such strong words, as he always has had, for the Pharisees, for the scribes, the religious leaders of the people of Israel of his day. Why? Because they were leading his very own people astray. Jesus, their shepherd, their good shepherd, he had been leading them, the Pharisees had been leading them astray, and so he was rebuking them for misinterpreting the law, the very law of God, the law that was good, the law that Jesus was born into and born under and was keeping. The Pharisees had made a travesty of God's law by missing the very heart behind it. We've seen that in the last couple of chapters, especially chapter 11 and now most of chapter 12. And last week we saw that they had finally rejected Jesus by claiming that he had come from Satan. Jesus speaks out against them, and he continues that here in our passage today. But it seems there's a theme here in these words, verses 33 to 37. Jesus is saying, your words matter. Now remember, in context, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's talking about the judgment that was about to come upon them in 70 AD, we know from history, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, a judgment of God. From that point on, the Jewish people were dispersed, and they were dispersed without a homeland until 1948. God proclaimed judgment on that nation because they had rejected their Messiah, their king, and the kingdom he had come to offer. See, Matthew is writing his gospel to Jewish believers who wanted to make sure that they were believing in the Messiah, who actually was that King of Kings and Lord of Lords we were singing about. So Matthew is writing to them to encourage them and give them that assurance that, yes, he is the one that offered the kingdom, but why would they be confused? Well, simply because we learn later, of course, in the story, and we know that they put their king to death and reject the kingdom. And so they would honestly then naturally say, what now? So Matthew is writing this story, this account of Jesus and his life and his ministry, to tell them, no, he is that king, and he offered the kingdom, and your people, your leaders, have rejected it on your behalf. Now, what do we do? So Matthew has been giving the genealogy of Jesus, the calling into ministry, his teachings, showing all the qualifications of Jesus as king, that he would be able to come and offer the kingdom, because certainly the Jewish people have been waiting, right? They've been waiting for the kingdom. Is there something in your life that you've been waiting for a long time? I mean, we can relate to it in a little way, like when you're a kid waiting for that Christmas present, and Maybe right after Christmas, you start anticipating the following Christmas. Some of you start doing your Christmas shopping right when you're returning those gifts and you're starting your shopping for next year. We anticipate things in our life that the people of Israel have been anticipating for generations, the Messiah and his kingdom. He was there offering the kingdom, showing them by miracles and by his words that he truly is that king. They were rejecting him. So Jesus now has these harsh, cutting words for them. But it is all about their words. You see, in the context here, Jesus is saying, you have made a choice. And then he's warning everybody else. He's saying, choose wisely. Choose wisely. Choose wisely the words that you say, particularly about who you say I am. See, that's what he's telling them. He's saying to the Pharisees, and then by extension, the people of Israel, he's saying, you are choosing to say that I belong to Satan and to not of God. Be careful and choose wisely, because your words matter. Pharaoh denounced God. Pharaoh shook his fist at God and said, who is this God that I should call him Lord, that I would let his people go? Words matter. But what do we take from this today? Because, again, in context, Jesus is talking about the religious leaders, the people of Israel, their rejection of him, and he's saying, be careful, because judgment is coming for them in that generation. Remember, we talked about the unpardonable sin, the one that we cannot commit today, because we're not there watching him perform his miracles. We're not rejecting him as king over Israel. But yet there's much for us to glean in our age of grace as we wait for Jesus to return. So what can we learn from this passage and these words spoken by Jesus for us today? First, just take a look at verse 33. Either make the tree good or its fruit good. Make the tree bad, its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. So I would say this, Jesus isn't talking about himself. He's not the tree, he's not the fruit. But think about this. What is the fruit in the context? It's not the actions, it's the words. See, he's saying to them, make a choice. He's saying, who do you say that I am? Just, okay, already. Make the tree good or make the tree bad? What's your choice? Have you ever been faced with a really difficult decision where you have to choose one or the other and it's right in front of you? Make a choice. And you have to make a choice there and then. Jesus is saying, okay, be wise with your choice. Either make it good and its fruit is good, or make it bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. So if the fruit of the words that they are speaking, because they had spoken words against him, saying that he is from Satan and not of God, he's saying, you know what? Like a tree, we're not exactly like trees, but like a tree, your fruit, the words you speak, will show your character. Church, our words that we use reveals our character, does it not? So we need to examine the root of that fruit, our words. We can ask ourselves this question, is my life producing the fruit of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? Again, we see what Jesus is saying in context here. We're not, our eternal destiny is not based upon good words, bad words. I mean, good people say bad things and good things. People that we might consider bad say good things and bad things. But see, what's happening is Jesus condemning them for their words, their choice, is telling us, choose today who you will serve. Remember those words from the end of Joshua? When he says to the people that he's leading, he says, okay, you want to go, it's towards the end of the book of Joshua, and he says, you want to go and serve the gods of your forefathers, those pagan gods, then go ahead. But Choose today who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It is a choice what we say. What we say about Jesus. You're here this morning, you're hearing my words. What do you say about who Jesus is? But then we can apply it as believers, as Christians who have already put our faith and trust in Him. We can ask ourselves this: are our words producing what they should be producing? They don't always. They don't judge our salvation. But what is God's expectation that we would do? What would we do with the new life He's given us? How does it manifest itself in the words we speak? Are we producing the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Somehow whenever I try to recite this from memory, I leave out one. Which one is it? Self-control. I think it's the one we always leave. What's that one? We just don't like that, right? We kind of conveniently forget that one. Against such things, there is no law. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Our fruit, in this context, our words, not our actions, our words, they don't save us, our continuing words in salvation, but it shows what's inside. But yes, ultimately, what we believe in our heart about Jesus is what leads to eternal life. We put our faith and trust in Him by simply believing that He is who He says He is and did what He said He was coming to do. But see, not only are we to check the fruit of our lips, the words that we speak, is it reflecting what is in our heart as Christ followers, but are we cultivating the fruit of the Spirit? It's not our fruit, it's the Holy Spirit's fruit. Manifest in us. How do we do that? By abiding in Him. John 15:5. That whole chapter, check it out later, John 15. Jesus talks about abiding in Him. It's not our self-effort. See the difference? It's not just trying harder. It's abiding in Christ. Surrendering all of ourself to Him as believers. Each and every day. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears what? Much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Are we abiding in Christ that we would bear much fruit? Spending daily time in the Word, daily time praying, gathering together for a special time of prayer like tomorrow night to nourish, cultivate our walk with Him. Abiding in Him. But I think we also then have to evaluate before we move on, what do others say about us? I mean, this is all about what they were saying about Jesus. Think about that for a moment. As Christ followers, as those who are ambassadors for Christ, representing Him in this world, what do others, quote unquote, taste when they interact with you? Do they taste that fruit of the Spirit, the love, the peace, the joy, or is it more like bitterness and pride? The fruit of our lips, our words, are a big part of our public testimony and our character. But what else does he then say in Matthew? You brood of vipers. You know what a brood is? It's the offspring. Vipers being snakes. You brood of vipers. Don't you think Jesus chooses his words wisely? Who did they just claim that he was getting all his power and authority from? Satan. Who did Satan appear as back in the garden? A serpent, a snake. So he calls again, just like John the Baptist did earlier. We saw that earlier in Matthew. John the Baptist called them a brood of vipers. Jesus says, you brood of vipers, you offspring of Satan. How about that? Because now he's going to go on to say that why that is. How can you being evil, again, he's looking at the heart. How can you, Pharisees, being evil, speak what's good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You've probably heard that before. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Anybody ever say that to you? To try to remind you to be careful with the words that you speak? I mean, we get ourselves in trouble sometimes, don't we? You've heard that expression, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? You say words and you're just like, oh, you can't get them back. We have to be careful with the words that we choose to say. But he is telling them, because their hearts are evil, they are speaking evil things, again, about him. They cannot recognize Jesus as their king and Messiah and of God because their hearts are turned towards evil. Verse 35, he continues, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. You see what he's developing here? And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. The Pharisees spoke evil because their hearts were spiritually dead. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit because that was flowing from a deep unbelief in their hearts. So as believers today, what do we take from that? We are to guard our hearts so we can guide the words of our mouths. What does Proverbs 4 say? My son, give attention to my words. Apt reading for Father's Day. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them, again, words and sayings, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. If we are filling our hearts and our minds with scripture and praise, what are we then speaking to others? The fruit of the Spirit, words that lift up and do not tear down. We are to use our words to heal and to help and to bring hope, not hurt. Choosing our words wisely. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Again, this is written to believers. It's not about how you get saved or not, the words that you're choosing to speak. This is about Christians. How are we living out our lives with our words? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, that means lifting up, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. How are we doing with the words we choose to speak? Are we speaking encouragement and life and grace into our marriages, into our children's lives, to our co-workers, to our fellow believers at church? When we don't, we can quickly confess, and God is faithful and just to forgive. Again, written to believers, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we need to, we repent and ask for forgiveness as believers, which should then lead us to apologize, ask for forgiveness, and seek reconciliation. And finally, verses 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. See, I mentioned there are some hard sayings here. Again, always, church, always when you're reading the Bible, you keep the scripture in context. Jesus is not all of a sudden talking about how everyone in general gets saved. He's not saying, if you speak the right words, you'll be justified and get to heaven, and by your words, you'll be condemned to hell. He's not saying that. Again, he's talking in context to the Pharisees, the people of Israel in that first century, and he's saying, by your words, Pharisees, if you say I am from Satan, then you will be condemned. If you believe in who I am and you make that choice to say that I am from God, then from that you will be justified, Israel. But what do we take from that as believers today in the year 2025? We know shortly after Jesus speaks those words, Israel faces judgment, and they will again in the future, the word says, they will then receive their king by proclaiming with their words, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But Christians will be judged at what's called the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. It is that time when the Lord calls us home, and we are to give an account for everything that we've done and said with our salvation. This is not determining heaven and hell, because that's determined by our belief in Jesus. Amen? Thank you. We can get a big amen for that. But what happens when we face that judgment of Jesus? It's about eternal rewards. It's about eternal rewards. It's about, have we spoken words? And that aspect of that moment before Jesus, have we spoken words that were just idle slander, that were cynical, that were careless, or were they done with grace and truth? Let our words be part of our witness for Christ, church. Being intentional about not wasting words whenever we can. And in that sense, we are storing up for ourselves eternal rewards. So in our passage today, Israel has rejected her king. But we are still challenged to consider the words that we choose to say. Are we speaking in such a way that we are bearing the Holy Spirit's fruit within us, which would then be consistent with our new nature? Do our words reflect a heart that is filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, as a believer, we're indwelt by the Spirit. He is always with us. He doesn't leave us. But yet we can pray to be filled, which means that we are being obedient, that we are abiding in Christ, that we are then filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if that is the condition of our fellowship with God as believers, and our heart is filled with His Spirit, we will then be producing that beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit. Are we using our speech in a way that pleases Christ and stores up those eternal rewards? So let our words be a witness to the world. Let the Holy Spirit's fruit flourish from within us. And let our hearts, where the words begin, always bring honor to God. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you for our time together as we leave this place. May we give you honor. Father, it saddens us to be reminded of what took place over 2,000 years ago, the rejection of your people of their king and the kingdom that awaited them. Father, we are thankful that that kingdom then still awaits. We long to see that kingdom come. We long to see your will be done on earth as it is right now in heaven. We long for that day. And so, God, as we wait and as we worship you in our waiting, may our words be a witness of you in our hearts to the world around us, so that you would get all the glory and that more people would come to faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and therefore have the beautiful assurance of eternal life with you. Father, thank you for the reminder that our words can build up or tear down. May we choose wisely the words we speak today. And we ask for the help through the Holy Spirit and for the strength and guidance to remain abiding in you. And so we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Church, thanks for joining us this morning. Let's go in peace, and let us go proclaim with our words that peace.
Everyone's wrong.